Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. This week, we're going to find out more about the Sturgeon Spectacular on Lake Winnebago and Fond du Lac. We'll also find out more about walleye wars going on up at Lake of the Woods. And we're going to talk to Charles Somerville in Alaska about the earthquake, about sea duck hunting, about emperor geese, and more. Show is brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, haybaleheights.com. By Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau. Find out more about the Sturgeon Spectacular February 5th through the 10th at fdl.com/ss. And also by Prairie Sportsman, the new season starting January 27 on Pioneer Public Television.
Our next guest is Charles Somerville, or Captain Charlie, who guides in Alaska. Man, Alaska. Just when you say the name, it just, you almost have to let the word breathe a little bit, just because the name conjures such images of vast, beautiful landscapes and all the wildlife and the fishing and everything that you can do up there. And one of my bucket list items at the top of the list right now is duck hunting in Alaska. So I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the recent earthquake that took place up there. And maybe it's just me just not knowing as much about Alaska as some people, but I didn't really know that you get a lot of earthquakes in Alaska. So I wanted to ask Charles about it a little bit. So first of all, Captain, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Brett, and good to talk with you. And we'd be more than glad to fill in your clients and hopefully entertain them a little bit and give them some good information about Alaska between the earthquake and all the trophy sea duck and hunting and fishing opportunities.
Well, I'm sure we could fill up an entire probably month's worth of shows talking about the opportunities in Alaska, but specifically, first of all, you weren't around where the earthquake was, correct?
Yeah, we were out at our lodge in Cole Bay, which is about 600 miles southwest of Anchorage, and we did have the tsunami warning, but we didn't actually have the earthquake, although the Alaska Peninsula is considered the Ring of Fire, and we've got, volcanoes that are literally 6 miles from our lodge, but those volcanoes didn't actually go off, or we didn't have any eruptions. But yeah, the big one in Anchorage, which, was right around a 7.0 magnitude, 6.8 to 7.0, was a pretty good one. And, the nice thing is, there wasn't any deaths. There was, some damage, some road damage, but, Alaska is pretty used to these, and we've got a real good DOT system in place. And it was pretty amazing, seeing how fast they got everything fixed up and the schools and the roads and everything.
We all saw the pictures of that road getting fixed and how quickly it got fixed. We were amazed. We can't get potholes fixed around here for like 3 or 4 years. So to see that road repaired as quickly as it was, is a testament to, the people and the programs that you have up there.
Yeah, no, the people in Alaska are pretty unique. I mean, they're hardworking people. They're dedicated. And, that's why I say people come to Alaska because they want to be here. That's the great thing about the state. The people are nice. People want to be here. They're not stuck here if they don't want it. And, we have a big sportsman community, and it's very family oriented with the military. We have a strong military background with a lot of military vets and which are sportsmen in return. And so it's a great place to live, good place to raise a family, and lots of opportunity for the people.
Are you from Alaska?
No, I am originally from upstate New York, from a little town called Sandy Creek in the foothills of the Adirondack Mountains. I was born and raised on Lake Ontario, working on the fishing boats and a guide there. And at the age of right out of high school, I decided that I was going to go up to Alaska. So I graduated high school and ended up coming up at 19 years old to Alaska with $300 in my pocket and a dream. And now, 33 years later, I have been very successful. We, run a very successful waterfowl hunting operation. We call it Team Extreme in the Aleutian Islands, the Cold Bay Adventures Lodge, the Island X King Eider hunting operation. I had a 24-person sport fishing lodge in Bristol Bay, which was in Katmai National Park. I was also a big game guide for 22 years. So I pretty much have wore all the T-shirts. I'm a 7,000-hour bush pilot. So I pretty much have done it all, seen it all, and now I'm kind of scaling back a little bit and just specializing in the waterfowl hunting and the some of the world-class fishing cast and blast trips.
Well, I want to focus primarily on what you do up there, but I didn't realize you had the experience and everything else. So you pretty much been all over Alaska doing everything up there?
Yeah, we've had hunting lodges up in the Brooks Range in the Arctic North for caribou and grizzlies.
Oh, man.
We've hunted all the way out to Adak Island in the Aleutians, hunted Dutch Harbor. I mean, my company and myself, I mean, I pioneered the trophy sea duck hunting, the adventure expeditions, and that's kind of what I'm known for, and that's what we still do this day. I mean, we're always pioneering new areas. You know, I've always had a saying that, you know, when you're not leading, the view is always the same. You're looking at somebody else's ass. Well, I never look at anybody else's hind end. I'm always looking forward, and they're looking at mine, so... It's kind of my motto, be the leader, not the follower.
Well, for a long time, I wanted to go up to Alaska and hunt caribou with my bow. That was kind of the top of the list. And then it slowly morphed into duck hunting up there in Alaska. And king eiders would be great. And I want to talk about the king eider hunt up there. But I that would be fun too, but I just want to get up there and hunt, whether it's at, you know, Island X or wherever. I think it'd be fun to go up there and shoot ducks with Alaska as the backdrop, you know. But let's start off with that king eider hunt, because that's a pretty wild deal, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the king eider hunt, we call it Island X. That's out in the Pribilof Islands, which is about 400 miles off the coast of Alaska, you know, out in the Bering Sea. And it is some of the wildest country in the world. Big waves, big ocean. It's an isolated island. We were real fortunate. We did a TV show a couple of years ago, To Kill a King. It's still on YouTube with Tony Vandemore and Benelli and Under Armour.
That was great.
And Heavy Shot. So we got real lucky on that. And that kind of really highlighted the experience, that it's more of an adventure and an expedition. That's as big a part of the hunt as the whole thing, is just the travel, the adventure, and the expedition. And that's what I sell. I don't just sell a hunting trip.
Yeah.
I sell an expedition and an adventure. And a memory of a lifetime.
The adventure is my favorite part about it. You know, limits are great. Shooting trophies are great. And obviously you want to catch or pull the trigger or whatever it is you're targeting. But I love the adventure. I love the travel portion and seeing different parts of the world that I haven't been to before, and seeing, you know, some beautiful landscapes and unique wildlife. And it's always fun to harvest something. But man, that adventure, I think, is part of it. And when you talk about that king eider hunt out there, we were talking a little bit off the air, and you're... To me, when you were describing it, it was almost like a Minnesota fisherman in a 17-foot aluminum boat on a windy day trying to catch walleyes off a rocky point. That's, you know, the fish are coming up onto that point. You're out there drifting across points. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the feeding shelves on these islands, that's what draws the eiders. I mean, everybody knows that you want to be on the X when you're hunting. I mean, you can be the best guide in the world, the best decoys, but if you're not where the birds want to be, you're just wasting your time. Well, this is this will be our 19th season on Island X for king eiders, and we pretty much know the exact feeding patterns, the routes, the flight patterns. So, you know, we go out every day, and I mean, we're where the birds want to be, bottom line, and the birds are passing by. And it's a pretty unique situation due to that. It's not traditional diver hunting in the sake where you set up full anchored off decoys and anchor in your boat. You never anchor your boat in the Bering Sea because of the waves and the swells and the big rogue waves. I mean, I'm sure you've seen, everybody's watched Deadliest Catch and seen these, get these rogue waves and this and that. But even when we're in these protected bays, we'll get these big sweeper, you know, rogue waves that come around, and, you know, they're big swells. I mean, we typically will hunt in 5 to 10 foot ocean swells every day. And then, you know, occasionally after the big storms, I mean, we'll even be up to 15 foot swells.
Wow.
And, you know, you're hunting along these reefs where it goes from 60 feet to 12 feet and into 4 feet. So we end up having these big, you know, curling Waikiki, Hawaiian style waves breaking. And we're literally hunting, you know, 100 or 200 yards off these giant, you know, 12 to 15 foot breaking waves on these reefs. So you never anchor. It's always a kind of a drifting. You put out your long lines, your decoys, and you kind of drift along these edges. And then when you get to the end of the drift, you motor back forward, you know, and drift back, and you keep drifting along the feeding lanes where the birds are flying, you know, around the island and going into these shallow areas to feed.
It's funny that you would use something from Hawaii to compare a late December, January hunt in Alaska. It seems like two different environments. And when you're floating up and down like that, how many guys get a little seasick when they're on the boat there with you?
Well, you know, we probably about 15% of the people do get a little queasy. So we recommend the patches, you know, the seasick patches, scopolamine patches behind the ear. And, you know, I tell guys, you know, they come up there, they start celebrating a little bit and want to have a few too many beers and a few too many cocktails the first night. And I'm like, you know, you might want to go a little easy on that because, you might not, this is going to be a little different than fishing on Lake of the Woods or going up to Devil's Lake and trolling for walleyes. You know, this is big ocean swells.
and when you're bouncing up and down like that, it adds another factor into the equation of hitting moving targets, doesn't it?
Well, it does. I mean, it's kind of a 3D hunting effect. You know, you got the three different axes. You got the birds flying, you've got the boat moving, and then you've got you swaying back and forth, and you got the waves. I mean, we've sat out there a lot of mornings to watch a lot of expensive shells get pounded into waves where guys are following birds, and the birds just fly right behind the waves breaking, and they, you know, shoot through them. So, yeah, it's an experience. I mean, I compare it to getting on a merry-go-round with a drunk driver and trying to shoot, you know, balloons out of the air. I mean, it's definitely an experience.
That's great. Charles Somerville, our guest, Captain Charlie here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about duck hunting in Alaska, King Eider specifically, as well as other trophy sea ducks and just some of the adventures you can have in fishing. I got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to talk more about hunting in Alaska, Brandt, and there's a picture, your cover photo on Facebook is of a couple emperor geese. So I want to talk more specifically about some of the other waterfowl up there in Alaska, too. More on the way with Charles Somerville on Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to that podcast wherever you get podcasts. Talking Alaska right now with Charles Somerville, Captain Charlie. He's been all over Alaska hunting and fishing pretty much everything he can up there, and right now focuses on guiding waterfowl hunts. And to me, this is, I've hunted ducks Of course, in Minnesota, down to Arkansas, in Missouri. I've hunted ducks down in Argentina. I've been in a lot of places to hunt ducks. I cannot imagine what it would be like to hunt ducks with mountains in the back, you know, as your backdrop, or out on Island X chasing king eiders as you're bouncing up and down in these huge swells. It's just got to be an amazing experience, and that's what we're talking about right now. And Captain Charlie, first of all, on your Facebook page, you got some emperor geese as your cover photo. Do you get in to, can you hunt emperors up there? Do you get into those?
The emperor goose season has been closed since 1986. And last year was the first year that they opened it back up for residents only, was 2017, 2018. This year, they did a limited drawing for 25 permits for non-residents. So we just finished our second season successfully guiding. We took 12 emperor goose hunters this year out of the 25, and everybody got their emperor goose. We had a great season. And the nice thing about them is, nobody's hunted them since 1986.
Yeah.
So it is a true trophy. It's one of the most beautiful birds. They're a very good decoying bird. They're very vocal. So, I mean, that's more traditional, you know, goose hunting, setting up with shells and, setting up in layout blinds and the, you know, it's very traditional, more goose hunting, setting up on a beach, having the emperors come right in and land. So it's a great hunt. I mean, and unfortunately, the season, the application deadline for next year just closed December 17th at 5 on the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. So nobody can apply after that. But anyway, they'll always be next year.
Sure. Oh man, what a cool experience! Not only to be able to go to Alaska, to be able to get into a limited hunt like that. Would be very cool. But just all those other species. Now, we get a few sea ducks here around the Great Lakes, and occasionally you hear about maybe a scoter or, a Barrel's Goldeneye or something like that getting shot on some of the bigger bodies of water in Minnesota and the Dakotas. But for the most part, we don't get the opportunities to hunt some of these sea ducks or brant for that matter. Do you guys see a lot of brant over there?
Yeah, we're based in Cold Bay, which is actually the brant capital of the world. Oh. The world's population of Pacific black brant stage up in Eisenbeck Lagoon and Kinzeroff Lagoon, which are, you know, adjoining Cold Bay. And we have between 160,000 and 200,000 that stage up there all of September and October. And then late in October, they probably 60 to 70% of them migrate down, and they do a flight all the way down through California, and then they end up down in Mexico in the Baja. So, but we're pretty fortunate that even in the winter now, because the weather has been getting a little bit milder, that we're getting between 30 to 50,000 brant that are wintering over and staying in Eisenbeck and Kinzeroff Lagoon right there in Cold Bay for the whole season. So even on our late season trophy hunts, for the sea ducks, we get to go brant hunting for a day or two. So it's a very diverse hunt when you can, you know, shoot Pacific brant one day, you can shoot harlequin one day, you can shoot longtails or old squaw, you can go for a Pacific eider, you can go for white wing and common scoters, you can shoot some bluebills, we get some Aleutian teal, a few Eurasian widgeon, you know, along with the puddle ducks and pintails.
Cool.
So it's a real diverse waterfowl population. I mean, Cold Bay is truly the waterfowl capital of Alaska, and I mean the Pacific brant and the emperor goose capital of the world.
Well, I'm planning a trip at the end of September. It just happens to be over my birthday next year, which is September 28th. So I'm going to be up there that last week pretty much in September. And that time of year, what is it primarily that you guys are targeting up there?
In late September, the Pacific brant are in full plume. I mean, that's the big we'll have the whole population of them there, close to 200,000. Wow. We'll have Canada geese. We'll have some of the lessers, the Aleutian cacklers. We'll have puddle ducks. We'll have silver salmon fishing, Arctic char fishing. And there will be a few, you know, sea ducks around. There's a few harlequin and a few scoters. And the emperor geese will be there. So, I mean, you'll get to see the whole Monty. I mean, it's all going to be happening, and we look forward to having you come up and see it.
Oh man, I cannot wait. I haven't been to Alaska yet, so just getting there, as we talked about, the adventure is what I'm looking forward to the most. But and when you go, you kind of have to fish when you go to Alaska too. And you guys offer a cast and blast package up there?
Yes. Yeah. Starting mid-August, we do the salmon fishing, halibut fishing. And then as September 1st is when our official waterfowl season opens, we have the Cast and Blast all from September through the middle of October. And just so you know, for your listeners, I mean, everybody always talks about, well, these trips are really expensive and I can't afford a, you know, $4,000 trip. We, you know, we're one of the few outfitters that actually offers do-it-yourself packages in Cold Bay, because the brant hunting is not rocket science. I mean, there's a lot of birds. Our birds are fairly stupid early season, and guys can come up and we've got boats and layout boats and decoys and vehicles. So we, you know, we do offer a kind of a do-it-yourself package too for guys that are a little more seasoned waterfowlers. And, you know, maybe they'll have, you know, we'll have to, you know, have a guide one day just to kind of show them around, and then they'll get to hunt on their own for the brant and do some of the fishing. So, and that's a nice thing that, you know, it is an opportunity for the do-it-yourself packages that start around $2,500 versus a, you know, $4,000 package for the fully guided package that, you know, we can offer some of the sportsmen.
Oh, that's a great idea. And if people wanted to come up there and do that now for the King Eiders, they're looking at a little bit of a waiting list for that, right?
Yeah. Now the King Eiders, that's a whole different monster. There's no do-it-yourself trip there. That's the, right. That's the premium trip.
Sure.
The rough water, that we have a pretty much a 2-year wait list on that. We're sold out for all of 2019, all of 2020. And we're actually, you know, we're probably 40% filled for 2021 right now. Wow. But it's a limited hunt because it's a short season. We take we take 10 hunters a week, and it's only a 4-week season. So it's very short, very limited. And where the Cold Bay season starts in September, it goes all the way through December. So there's a lot of it's a lot longer season.
And if people wanted to come up there, maybe they want to look a few years down the road and do the King Eider, or if they mm-hmm. want to do the Cold Bay and get in on that, where can they find more info? How do they book a trip?
They can go to our website at AlaskaDuckHuntingGuides.com, which is pretty simple to remember, AlaskaDuckHuntingGuides.com, and or they go to our Facebook page, which is Cold Bay Adventures Lodge or Aleutian Island Waterfowlers, Island X. We're pretty much cross-referenced in a lot of different areas. We've got a couple different websites, EmperorGooseHunting.com, AlaskaDuckHunting.com. That's pretty much the main way to contact us. And AlaskaDuckHuntingGuides.com. It's easy to remember.
Sure. AlaskaDuckHuntingGuides.com. Captain Charlie, Charles Somerville, be safe out there. Good luck with everything. And again, thanks for being on the radio show.
Thank you very much, Brett, and good talking to you.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. Coming up February 5th through the 10th, Lake Winnebago, the Sturgeon Spectacular. Once again, the sturgeon spearing event that takes place out there with thousands of people gathering on Lake Winnebago. It's a great time. We're going to be back out there once again with Sporting Journal Radio, and we'll be doing radio out there. We'll be doing some filming out there. We'll, Jamie Dittman and I will be back on the ice, hopefully getting our spears wet out there this year. And to find out more about it, we're going to talk to Craig Molitor, the president, CEO, Destination Lake Winnebago Region, and also Pete Wilkie, the director of marketing and festivals. Guys, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, it's great to be back. Always fun to talk with you.
Now, we always talk about this every year, the Sturgeon Spectacular. Of course, it's centered around the sturgeon spearing, and we want to talk about that specifically, but there's events for the whole family, even if you're not going to be spearing out there. So I want to run through some of those events, and I know we had you on about a month ago or whatever it was. We'll talk about any updates as we go here today. But one thing I want to mention right off the bat is normally we talk about you being with Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau, Fond du Lac area. You got a little bit of a new name this year, Craig.
Yeah, we kind of changed it up just a little bit. We are still the organization that oversees the marketing of our area, and obviously Fond du Lac is our hometown. But what we're trying to do is let the outside world know that this region, the Lake Winnebago region, has so much to offer that we thought a name change may help us project that idea to audiences like yours. You know, Fond du Lac is an awesome community, but we're also talking about the Horicon Marsh. We're talking about Niagara Escarpment. We're talking about the Kettle Moraine, all the little communities that are in this area. And of course, the mighty Lake Winnebago, which is one of the largest freshwater lakes in the entire country. So we've changed our name. It's not really that important to what we do because we're still just out there saying, hey, come visit us. But changed the name from the Fond du Lac Visitors Bureau to Destination Lake Winnebago Region because, you know, you can look at a map of the country, and this lake, this massive lake, is so obvious. It's clearly the largest lake in Wisconsin, but it's also one of the largest lakes in the country, and we just want to make sure that we're telling the world about that. Well, so that's why we changed our name.
Sure, and Lake Winnebago is a great fishery, such a unique situation with the sturgeon over there and the ability to take part in a spearing season. But also just that area in general, of course, walleye fishing in the summertime and all the other fishing activities that go on there. But you mentioned Horicon Marsh, which is something that I'm sure a lot of our listeners know quite a bit about, whether you're a goose hunter, waterfowl hunter, or just like a bird watcher, a wildlife watcher, because of the migration of birds that pass through that area. It's such a neat thing, and we can talk about that another day. We've got the guys from Fond du Lac or Destination Lake Winnebago Region here on Sporting Journal Radio talking about the Sturgeon Spectacular coming up February 5th through the 10th, Lake Winnebago. So, guys, first of all, the spearing season opens up on that Saturday. What's that? That's February 9th?
Correct.
But you have events coming starting earlier that week.
Yeah, what we did, about 4 or 5 years ago, is we determined that the specialness of the sturgeon spearing season, particularly that first weekend, was worthy of its own festival. So we've created a festival around the sturgeon spearing season. Sturgeon spearing opening day is always the second weekend in February. So we've got this festival coming to town. It begins with events for the Ice and Snow Sailing Association World Championship. We're bringing in athletes from all over the world, Sweden and Quebec and Ukraine and et cetera, who will participate in the ice kiting event, the World Championship ice kiting event. But Pete, our festival guy, has built a festival around this phenomena that is great for kids, families, adults that just want to get away. And this year we thought we'd pay specific attention to really what the festival is all about, and that's the sturgeon. So I'll let Pete fill in some of the blanks here about what's going on that weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. Yeah, there's lots to see and do, as Craig mentioned. We have some returning crowd favorites like the Wisconsin State Snow Sculpting Competition coming back. We have concerts and other activities all throughout town and at Lakeside Park, which is a 26-acre beautiful park right on the southern edge of Lake Winnebago that creates a great festival atmosphere along with the downtown district where we've added events to that as well. So we've really grown. And as Craig has alluded to, we wanted to bring the sturgeon spearing phenomena to the festival. So what we are setting up is actually a spearing and beering event at Lakeside Park, sponsored by Lakefront Brewery. And we have a show-off station there. So any spearers that spear a fish are lucky enough to spear a fish on that opening day. If they bring their fish down after they register, they have a chance to win a $500 drawing just by bringing that fish, as long as it's legal, of course. And then the biggest sturgeon brought in will get a trophy, a big trophy for this year's opening day.
A spearing and beering station opening day. Where is that going to be again?
So right at Lakeside Park Pavilion, right on the southern tip of Lake Winnebago. We'll be creating a physical bridge, a walking bridge from the lake, as well as a metaphorical bridge to the spearing community. So really excited about that. That's a new event this year.
That's Pete Wilkie, Director of Marketing Festivals, Destination Lake Winnebago Region here on Sporting Journal Radio, talking about the Sturgeon Spectacular and the new spearing and beering station. I just like saying that. I might have to just talk about this the rest of the thing.
It does. Hey, this is Wisconsin, right? We got to be loud and proud about who we are.
And you're going to have polka music in the background then too, right? I mean...
Absolutely. We'll definitely have music.
Absolutely.
Pretty much have to have that. Of course, it's such a neat event. And guys, you know, I've been going over there for a few years now. And it's some people you hear about sturgeon spearing and all the sturgeon in there, and they think it's this mass, you know, you're pulling all these fish out of the lake. It's not an easy thing to spear one of these sturgeon, especially some of these are just giant, giant fish. But you go there for the experience. And I know we've said this on the radio show many, many times, but we liken it to deer camp on ice, because the whole community gets together. They celebrate this unique prehistoric fish. You call them dinosaurs, and it's just a good time for everybody. And you can only spear from, what, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m., so it's nice to have all these other activities throughout the community the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's our thought, too, and I've used this term with you in the past, but I've heard sturgeon spearing likened to duck hunting through a chimney.
Yeah.
And you know, that just kind of really resonates for anybody that's ever hunted or fished before. It's such a challenge. People go out there for generations, or generations of families have gone out there. The one difference between this and deer camp is I have found that deer camp is more of a guy-centric thing, whereas sturgeon spearing, I really think the crowd is almost evenly mixed between men and women, boys and girls, kids, grandparents. I mean, it is just a perfect family event. And to your point, we wanted to add events to it. So if folks are not spearers, or once spearing is done, there are other things to do for the entire family.
Sure. It's fun to be there even if you're not spearing. If you do want to take part in spearing, you have to apply for a tag for Lake Winnebago by October 31st, so make plans for next year. But plenty to do even if you're not spearing. If you want to come out there this year, February 5th through the 10th. Craig, where should people go? Craig and Pete, where should people go if they want to find out more information and plan a trip out there?
Yeah, check out www.fdl.com/SS for Sturgeon Spectacular.
FDL.com/SS. Guys, Craig Molitor, Pete Wilkie, Destination Lake Winnebago Region, the Sturgeon Spectacular once again taking place, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, February 5th through the 10th. Guys, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll check in with the guys up at Lake of the Woods Tourism, find out how fishing has been on Lake of the Woods this week. And we'll check in with Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake to get a report from them as well.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
Welcome to the walleye capital of the world. Welcome to Lake of the Woods. With over 50 resorts and motels to stay at, Lake of the Woods is a winter destination trip that deserves to be on every angler's list. Bring the family too. Book a fully guided trip in a heated fish house or do it yourself. Don't leave the snowmobiles at home either. The Lake of the Woods area offers hundreds of miles of groomed trails to spend the day on. Come visit the walleye capital of the world. Come visit Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back, Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, Sporting Journal Radio, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, so we talk Minnesota and, of course, the Dakotas, and we're going to check in with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort up on Devil's Lake right now, where Lucas Mertens, it sounds like you guys have your own walleye wars going up there right now.
Yeah, we do. We're having a little walleye wars between all our snow bears this week, just like the chamber is going against the Lake of the Woods there, but we're kind of having our own walleye wars, I guess.
Well, it sounds like the walleye bite's been pretty good for you.
Yeah, walleye bite for us has been fantastic. Yesterday, there was one snow bear. The last hour and a half, they figured they caught at least 60 walleyes.
Wow.
And that it was just something they've never encountered before. It was just like being on a big school of perch. There was four of them in there, and as fast as they could put a line down, they had another one on there. And they were all ranging from, the biggest was like a 24, and they went all the way down to like the 12-inch, but there was a lot of those 16, 17s in there, good eating fish.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I've been watching the walleye wars, of course, this week, and Tanner was in a portable, it sounded like, out there, but sounds like he should have been in one of your snow bears, Lucas.
Yeah, maybe he needed to be in our spot. We'll see how he turns out at the end of the day.
Sure.
All
right. Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. And, you know, the weather warmed up here at the kind of towards the end of the week, but you had some pretty cold temperatures up there this week too, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a blizzard come through and dump about a foot of snow on us. And we got all that cleaned up, and it blew for a few days, and then it got really, really cold. I think it was Sunday, we were negative 51 with the windshield. So the guys that were out in the bears that day, they definitely got the full effect of what the snow bear is all about. it was pretty brutal. You just kind of cross your fingers and hope nothing goes wrong on days like that, because it's that can turn a trip bad in a hurry.
It can, and I've been out there when it's been upper 40s below zero. How do you say it? Upper 40s below zero? Low, 47, 46 below zero, and we were out there in one of those snow bears and stayed nice and toasty and, you know, mobile, which is nice when you're chasing those perch around. So, Lucas, obviously fishing can be dependent on some weather, and everybody knows you're not gonna slay fish every single day that you're out there. It's just the way that it goes. But when you have those big temperature swings and those storms roll through, you're still able to catch some fish, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just keep moving around. I just got the report from the boys out today, and everybody had a really good walleye bite this morning, and they were working on some perch. Sounded like they each had about 10 in the bucket, so they could turn on for a little bit today. They'll end up with a good catch.
And you get those the big perch, of course. The walleye bite's been fantastic, and you get the big pike to roll through sometimes.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll hook into some big pike sometimes out in that deeper water with that light tackle, which is always fun to land those fish on that real light tackle.
So how much snow do you have on the ice right now then?
Oh, there's drifts that are probably 2.5 feet tall. There's pretty much snow everywhere. There's a few guys getting around in trucks. Be nice to have a buddy with you, because I think you're going to get stuck a few times. Same with four-wheelers, but anything with tracks is able to go. And one thing, all that wind that came with it made the drifts hard, so it's pretty rough out there right now.
And so it makes it nice to be in a snow bear, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just takes kind of all that weather element right out of it.
Lucas Mertens, Haybale Heights Campground Resort, tooling around the lake in a snow bear to chase those perch around. And here's one thing, I know we've talked about it, but when you do get those weather events where you get some snow and you get some really cold temperatures, where some guys, especially if they're fishing in portables, they're probably not going to go out there. But not much stops you guys from going out in the snow bears, does it?
No, actually what I find is when the storms are here is when a lot of our really good fishing is. And I don't think people think that. They always think, well, right before the storm, it's always good too. But during the storm, those fish seem like they're going real good. And it's usually the day or two after the storm where they might slow down a little bit. So that's maybe the advantage of being with us. You're actually out there if it is storming out, and those fish seem like they bite very nicely.
Haybale Heights Campground Resort, the fleet of snow bears. If people want to come up and book a trip with you this winter, Lucas, what should they do?
They can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can look at our Facebook page and see what's going on, or they can go to our website, haybaleheights.com.
Haybaleheights.com. Lucas Mertens, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, now we're going to head up to that big lake in northern Minnesota where Walleye Wars just wrapped up. We're going to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how did it go?
Oh, Brett, what a relief. I can take a deep breath now. Walleye Wars is over, and we're on a good side of it. So,
oh, good.
But
good.
I have to say this. You know, we, of course, Walleye Wars was, we went head-to-head with Devil's Lake Tourism, and they fished today on Devil's Lake from 9 to 4 while we fished on Lake of the Woods from 9 to 4 and had a head-to-head competition on Facebook Live. In fact, your listeners can actually go back to our Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook page and actually see some of the footage from it. But we had a good day, Brett. We really did. You know, we could only use 4 holes. So I had different guests circulating through the fish house, but we made sure we never had more than 4 lines in the water at any one time. And we ended up with a total fish count of 71 fish for the day.
Wow.
We had our big fish was a 23-inch eel pout. Our biggest walleye was 22.75 inches,
nice.
And we had 47 walleyes, 18 saugers, 3 tulipies, 1 eel pout, and 2 perch. So we had a good day, and I'll tell you this much, we missed fish. I mean, half the time I was baiting hooks and talking to the camera and marking fish on the board, and I mean, I fished probably half a day. We lost fish. I lost a good one, man. A big line came on the Vexlar, and I stuck it, and when I set that hook, it's almost like you're sitting on a rock, and it took one quick run and broke my line, which I had good line on. And I don't know if it was a big pike or if it was a big walleye and that tooth hit it, you know.
I saw that you kept that eel pout. I was proud of you for keeping that eel pout. You guys gonna
heck you yeah. Like those eel pout, don't you?
Oh yeah, you got it. There's so many fish out there, and people just need to get over some of the stigma that some of these fish have. And it's like earlier this year we smoked some tulipy, and I saw you caught some tulipy, Joe, but I saw those go back in the lake. Which,
you know what? Yeah, and we did put the tulus back. I'll tell you, I don't have a means to smoke them right now.
Sure.
You know, I didn't know how many we were going to catch.
And honestly, the best thing about it is now that's going to probably feed some of your bigger walleye. So that's it's okay.
Yeah. One thing to say about Tulalip is, you know, if you have a big pike lake or a big walleye lake, there's a very, very good chance you got a good population of tulalip in that lake, because the tulalip are one of those forages that make those fish grow big.
Joe Henry is our guest. He just wrapped up Walleye Wars. So recording this on Thursday. It was all day on Facebook Live with Devil's Lake. Both lakes produced some fish. Lake of the Woods did pretty well. You guys, I mean, what did you say, 47 walleyes?
Yeah, 71 total fish, and it was 71 total. We had 47 walleyes.
Wow.
And, you know, I'll tell you, of those 47 walleyes, Brett, very seriously, we had fish that were 6 inches long, and we had some real, the future, and then they went in progression all the way up to, like I said, 22.75. We had a couple fish that were 22.75, but, and then we lost a couple nice fish, so I don't know if those fish would have been bigger or not. That's one thing about fishing is that you never know. But, you know, I'm sitting in a fish house right now as we speak. I mean, Walleye Wars just ended. I got a line on my hand while I'm talking. I'm jigging.
Yeah, of course. You better be.
You're darn right.
Who else did you have in your house there with you?
So we started out today. We brought in Mike Hurst. Mike is with Lake of the Woods Soil and Water Conservation District. And we talked about our Keep It Clean program to educate, promote, and enforce people bringing their trash off the ice. That's a very important part of ice fishing, of course. And then we also talked about aquatic invasive species and such. And then, you know, we had Mayor Rick Roan. And Mayor Rick Roan is the mayor of Bedette, Minnesota. And Rick is not only the mayor, but he also is very active with the VFW, who helps us with a lunch when we bring our Pay It Forward veterans up to Lake of the Woods in the summertime.
Cool.
He's also the county veteran service officer. And so we talked a lot about veterans and the fact that if you have a VA in your backyard, that's great. But, you know, a lot of rural places don't. That's when a county veteran service officer can be a huge ally for you. And then we brought out Mike Schultz. And Mike Schultz is leading the charge for the new Lake of the Woods International Arena. We have a brand new multi-million dollar ice arena in Bedette that'll be finished at the end of March.
Cool.
And it is cool. It's really nice. And we had an anonymous donor from the community who has always been involved in hockey. It's near and dear to his heart. You know, it meant a lot to his family. And he put up $5 million to get this thing going. And with some additional sponsorships and stuff, this thing is almost finished. And it's going to bring tournaments to town. It's an opportunity for, you know, if you're looking to host a tournament in a new city, hey, come on up to Lake of the Woods and you can go fishing too. I mean, you know, people are going to have weddings there and other kind of functions. It's just nice to have that into a small town like Bedette. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
So, and then finally, we had Brady and Darren Olson come out. Brady Olson is 12 years old. He's a seventh grader. And, you know, Darren's his dad. But, you know, we thought it'd be important to get a kid out here fishing just to talk about the importance of getting kids into the great outdoors. And, you know, Brady, he caught a ton of walleyes when he was out here. He caught a nice, probably his personal best jumbo perch. He caught some saugers and, he also deer hunts and, you know, he does it all, but, you know, he does that because his dad got him into the sports.
Sure.
And, you know, it's important to take kids into the great outdoors. Ice fishing, because of the 70 degree comfort in a fish house, is a perfect opportunity to do that.
Well, it looked like a lot of fun. I enjoyed following you guys along through the Facebook Live videos between Lake of the Woods Tourism and also Devil's Lake with Tanner over there. So congratulations on a successful day out there. Congratulations on your win, Joe. And if people want to book a trip to Lake of the Woods this winter, where can they go?
Yeah, you know what? Search Lake of the Woods Tourism on Facebook. Otherwise, check out our website. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
All right, my thanks to Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, haybaleheights.com, for being a sponsor of the show. Also, Lake of the Woods Tourism, lakeofthewoodsmn.com, to plan your trip to Lake of the Woods for this winter. Fond du Lac Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Sturgeon Spectacular, February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac on Lake Winnebago. And of course, Prairie Sportsman, the new season starting January 27 on Pioneer Public. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.